Morning, Jay. How are you?
Doing fine.
Good. Glad to hear that. Not any real new announcements necessarily.
Okay.
About the
we're not
same.
Streaming today.
No, we're not streaming. Yeah, we're gonna stay after Cody and I and kind of work on a couple things. Not yet. I'm just trying to get something here.
Yeah, Cody was in the same thing last night. Same thing when I was some of the guys
pre-ordered.
Yeah. So I got to pay for it. Well, the girl didn't charge me. She undercharged me, you know?
Yeah.
So
Sorry, Tom.
She was new, so the girl's been there all the time.
Yeah.
She goes, what do you do? Well, I said I had 4 instead of 3.
Yeah.
And, and she goes, well, thank you very much. That's And Mike, I didn't little known me, Mike the owner of the stand over there, and he saw all this. He said, thank you. You know, I mean, but these little
things.
Little
like
things that.
Because, you know, yeah. The natural mind. Or,
I
got a free one.
Yeah,
me pay for it.
Yeah, no.
But it's, it's a good.
They're a mistake by day, and that's the world. And that's what we're called, even though the little things. If you know it.
Integrity.
Yeah, if you know it and you see it, I mean, if you don't pick it up and say, but you see it. Look, I mean, cheat someone.
Sorry, I forgot.
No,
let's see. Do we have this little guy hooked up too?
Yeah, I just
okay.
You just have to figure out a way to get it to stick up there, Tom, for you. I might even just drape it down.
Father, we just talked about brush fire. Continue to pray for them.
Even those that are having defense that happened this year, this week, and country father, pray for his family, his protector, pray for the first responders, pray for their safety, and continue to pray for them and lift them up, Father, and continue to support them. Father, you have your hands for protection of that, Father. And also say in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Morning, Pat. I was trying to wait for you. I brought home and it's fine.
Yeah, it'll be streaming on the website.
Took palm branches and went out to meet him, speaking of Jesus, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel."
No, it was last, I think. I hope. why that cable didn't work. And I didn't realize this is it has two ends. It has one that goes into the camera and the other end goes into the computer. So we had it flip-flopped.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pursue us, Lord. Pursue us, Lord. Pursue us. That we can come to you. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that allows us to be connected to heaven right now, this moment. Father, we thank you for your table. Father, we acknowledge that you are in the highest heavens, far above all things. Your thoughts are not our thoughts, your ways are not our ways. You are holy in everything you do and everything you say and everything you are. And we don't know anything of the holiness, so we ask for your kingdom, the kingdom of holiness to come. We know nothing about your will or your ways, so we ask that your will would be done here on earth the same way it's done in heaven. We surrender all to you. We lay ourselves down. We say, we need you. We need you. We need you. Feed us, feed us, feed us. We're hungry and thirsty for righteousness. So give us our daily bread. First of all, Lord, cover us from our naked and shameful, sinful lives. We ask that you would forgive our debt, not loving you, not loving others. And Lord, as always, we know that by default we are sinners, so we ask you to lead us away from our temptations, away from our darkness, away from our minds, away from our hearts, away from our blindness. Lead us. Especially, Lord, deliver us from human pride. Let us live in humble dependence upon you for all things. As you sit, this is the time to get everything right. Get everything right. Align your heart with heaven. Align your mind with heaven. Align your body and your soul with heaven. Let us take the bread that represents his body that was broken. We enter his glory through the veil of his flesh. When his flesh was torn and blood and water poured forth, life and the Spirit came to us. The veil in the temple was rent in two, and the Spirit of God left a building that was made with hands. And it would soon be destined for a heart of flesh. We would become the body of Christ. We would be resurrected. We would be raised up. Give thanks for this that represents your unity in Christ. Partake. Jesus took the cup of a new covenant. It was to be made by the shedding of his blood. The blood of the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. He would cover us forever like the Passover lamb, and death would always pass over us because we would have his life inside us. Give thanks for this that represents your salvation and partake. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place, and we thank you for the angels of heaven that you have put in your place. We thank you for the audience of the saints who have gone before us. Lord, we just ask that every sin that so easily besets us would be laid to one side, that we might run and finish our race. We would not be ashamed to stand before you, knowing that we've done everything you told us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen and amen. Well, the message. Does anybody know what today is? I sort of have forgotten. So, Palm Sunday. Yeah. People used to ask me, why don't you hand out palms? They stopped asking me after a while. I want to preach on the cross and the resurrection. This is part of his series. I started out by talking about the glorious light of the cross, and then we went into examining the transformation that people experience by the cross. And today I want to talk about following Christ to the cross. When Jesus said, I am the way and the truth, there's truth. And that's what we teach. We preach you the truth. Every pastor is preaching the truth, telling you about what happened. But the way, that's what I find is sadly lacking in much of our lives. We don't know the way of Christ. We know the truth about him. We know what he did. We know all the stories. We know about Palm Sunday. We know about the Hosannas. We know about all of this. We've heard it. But do we follow the way? Do we understand the way? Because it is the way that we have in many ways rejected. Not the story, not the truth, but the way. You see, the reason why they went from yelling Hosanna to yelling crucify is because they didn't understand his ways. His ways were not their ways. He went from a coronation to a crucifixion by the fickleness of the people who understood one thing and one thing only. That this looks good. We like this. This is victory. This is celebration. This is the multitudes filling Jerusalem. And here's our hero. Go, Jesus, go. Do, Jesus, do. Accomplish, Jesus. Everybody loves a parade. Everybody loves a celebration of victory. So how did he go from what we would classify as human glory to what we would look at, if we didn't have eyes to see from a 2,000-year perspective, complete and total embarrassment? Crucify him. He went from cheers to jeers. And the reason why is because of human nature. We are ashamed of people who fail. We hide our faces from people that haven't succeeded in what they desire to accomplish. And part of the problem is we don't even know what they're trying to accomplish. We think we understand. They thought they understood what Jesus was trying to accomplish. He was trying to be a king. But I want you to see this. This is the day before he goes into Jerusalem and he has all these people. And all, listen to what he said. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The city that kills the prophets, that stones those that are sent to him. How often would I have gathered you like children together as a hen gathers and broods under her wing, but you were not willing. Listen to what he says next. See, your houses are left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes. What? He just said they were unwilling. He just said that they rejected him. And then he says, you're not going to... See, Palm Sunday is a charade. I'm not going to celebrate a charade. They rejected him then, and they in their hearts were rejecting him on Palm Sunday, even though they were saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Because what they were celebrating wasn't Jesus. It didn't matter who it was. They were celebrating an idea. This is human desires . See, he wanted to treat them as if he was their Lord and Savior, but they were unwilling. They weren't cheering for him. They were cheering for what he represented. They weren't following, and this is the key, they were not following him. They were following an idea. Listen to Jesus before the high priest. This is fascinating. This is one of those verses you'll probably never hear preached. But listen, the high priest said to him, I adjure you, by the living God, tell us, are you the Christ, the Son of God? And listen to what he says to him. You have said so, but I tell you, from now on, from this moment on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. What? From this moment. You see, when Jesus submitted to the cross, he began the process of true coronation. It didn't have anything to do with the charades of Hosanna. But when he yelled, it is finished, this is the doorway to the throne. You can only get there one place. And when he went through this door, he appeared before all of heaven in a cloud. When they saw him on the day of his crucifixion, he was getting ready to be in a cloud. He was getting ready to go through a door and yell, it is finished. And he would appear, as Hebrews tells us, as our high priest on that day in the Holy of Holies, presenting himself as the sacrifice. And then he would sit on what was called the mercy seat as the King of Glory. He would go in this procession. But it started right here. It started on what we perceive to be his most shameful appearance before us. But yet it was sheer and total glory. You see, Peter had it right when he said in Luke that Jesus was the Christ of God. He was the anointed of God. He says this in Luke. He says, this is what the Christ, you are the Christ. And then Jesus immediately says to him, he says, please don't tell anybody. I don't want any of the scribes, any of the Pharisees to understand this. Number one, they wouldn't understand it. But this idea of I'm the anointed, I'm the Christ. This has to happen. And by the way, we always talk about Jesus dying. The text actually says he was killed. He needed to be killed. He needed to be murdered. He needed to be slain by the priest as a lamb. And then he says this immediately after he says, this is the way of coronation. This is the way into my kingdom. This is the exalted way. He then says to all of them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. The path that I am taking, the utter shame that I am experiencing by following God is your path. If anyone, look at the word deny. If anyone wants to come out, deny. Listen to this. To deny. Have no acquaintance or connection. You have no acquaintance or connection with what? Yourself. You forget oneself. You lose sight of oneself. You have no other interest. You have denied yourself. This is you. You have no connection to yourself. You have no interest in yourself. He goes on to say, I'm going to explain this by saying you have to lose. What does it mean to lose? You have to destroy. You have to put away. You have to abolish it. You have to ruin it. You have to become useless. In order for you to gain life, you have to go through the cross. You have to pick it up. You have to live this way. And let me tell you the hardest part about the cross that leads to our salvation. And in case you were wondering, he was saying everything worldly, every ambition that the world exalts, you have to reject. Because he says what the world looks at is gain, 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 gain. He says there is no profit in what the world says is gain. You have to lose all of that thinking about what the world says is success and gain. You see, this greatest event in human history is misunderstood because we celebrate it much like the Pharisees celebrated the prophets of old. They wanted to sing about them and tell them how great these prophets were, but they were the same ones who would kill. The thing you need to know more than anything is you need to change your methodology of how you live. You know the truth, but you don't know the way. You know how to have a combination of God and the world in a very unholy mixture. And over again, Jesus showed the mixture. The rich young ruler shows the mixture. The Bible teacher showed the mixture. And yes, a bunch of people doing great things for God show us the mixture. We understand the truth, but we want to do it our way. It is what I see as the most prevalent thing. God's will done our way. This is the way we're going to present it. This is the way we're going to teach it. Listen, if you don't live it, you have no business presenting it. So what am I talking about? It comes down to one thing. You see, the rich young ruler was a doer of all of the law. He kept every single part of the law. He was the most law-abiding person, most Bible-believing, most. But what couldn't he do? He couldn't get rid of all of his worldly pursuits. He couldn't get rid of this. And he certainly couldn't follow. He wanted God and the truth and everything about the truth, but he didn't want to follow the way, which meant emptying himself. We are filled to the brim with the mixture of the delusion of the Laodicean church, the lukewarmness. Look at them. They want to preach and they want to teach. Listen. You search the scriptures because you think that this is Jesus to the Pharisees. You search them. You teach them. You think that you have eternal life. Listen, but it is they that bear witness about me and my way. Listen, you refuse to come to me that you might have life. What did they want instead of Jesus? And here it is. What did these guys want? And what did they not? Listen, here he says it right after this. You do not receive glory. He says, I do not receive glory from people. I do not receive glory from people. Everything I do, 24/7, God, how do I glorify you? What do they care about? Listen what he says to them. How can you say you're a believer? How can you say that when you receive glory from one another? This is religious life. I don't care. I'm a pastor. Just give me some glory. I'm a worship leader. Just give me some glory. Oh yeah, I do it in the name of God, but I'm really doing it for some form of glory. The religious spirit is we do things to receive glory. Oh, did you go to church today? Do not seek the glory that come, or they do not seek the glory that comes from only God. One final example of the mixture. On the day of judgment, people are going to be like we prophesied. People are going to be like we cast out devils. People are going to be like we did mighty works in your name. Weren't you paying attention? And Jesus will say to them, I don't really know who you are. You're lawless to me. I've been preaching on the cross for 3 weeks, and I said to some buddies of mine, I said, I'm preaching on the cross, and it's killing me. Because that's what the cross does. When you give up self-glorification, you're giving up the methodologies of saving your life by what life says. Listen, the cross is this. The cross is all about receiving the joy that comes after you have enjoyed the cross. What is the cross? There is a high degree of shame. A high degree of shame in the cross. The Bible says in Isaiah that he was despised and rejected, and we esteemed him not. Why? Because he appeared to be, to us, shameful. The game we call life, to win at life, it's all about checking off certain things that we say, this is what I have to do to be successful. Right here, this is it. I have to win at life. And Jesus says, no, you have to lose this life. This life must be lost. It is a false life. And what I see is we're constantly pursuing both. We need to know that God's rules for living our life involve the loss. And you say, the loss of what? The loss of everything. See, if I'm going to receive this crown, I have to lose everything. And a big part of the cross is understanding the shame of the cross. The heart of, if Jesus was anybody who he says, this is the heart of the performer. I want to receive glory from others. They were shouting approval to him. But here is the heart of the servant. I can do nothing on my own. I judge the way he tells me to judge. I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And you say, well, where will this lead you if you take this perspective that the only thing I care about is doing what God tells me to do? Well, where this will take you is a total abandonment to everything the world says is success. Jesus is playing by heaven's rules by seeking nothing for himself. As a matter of fact, he understands that all of these hosannas, every single last one of them, were shallow. Deliver us now, save us now, come to our rescue now. Jesus said, I will, if you will follow me and lose your life and lose your perspectives on life and follow me all the way to the cross. Don't turn on me. I know you love this parade. I know you love the visions of success. I know you love the masses cheering. I know that's what you love. This to you is glorious. This to you is shameful and should be rejected. But I'm telling you, this is shameful. And this should be rejected. And this is glorious. And this should be accepted. When people preach this way, there is a tendency for someone to say, crucify him. Because he's telling us that we must die. Paul understood this. We have no idea what success looks like. A servant simply obeys his master and usually ends up here. The cross carries with it a heavy load of shame. But Jesus says, listen, if you will not embrace the shame, whoever is ashamed of me and the way I lived and ashamed of my words will the Son of Man be ashamed of when he comes in his glory. Are you ashamed of the cross? Are you ashamed of what the cross produces? Are you ashamed of being ashamed? It is normal for man to run from shame and run to greatness. But Jesus over and over again had the mantra, no, you embrace the shame. If your life doesn't look something like this, with people like this, then maybe you are not living the crucified life. Maybe you're living the mixture. Maybe you're receiving the glory from men and not the glory that comes from God. Listen to the Apostle Paul, and I'm closing here. Listen to the perspective of the servant who understood the chief servant. Listen. This is how one should regard us. As servants of Christ. As stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required of the steward that he be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or judged by any human court. It doesn't matter what people's opinions are about me. In fact, I'm not even judging myself. I have no idea. I'm not aware of anything against me, but I'm not acquitted by that. And Paul finally says this. It is the Lord who judges me, therefore pronounce no judgment on anybody before. You don't know why people do what they do. Don't judge me as being great or don't judge me as being poor. You don't know me. Before the Lord comes, he will bring everything to light. Now the things that are hidden in darkness will be disclosed. The purposes of the heart. This is what God judges. Listen, the purposes of your heart. Why did you do what you did? Why do you go feed the homeless? Is it so that you can say you went and feed the homeless? Is it to relieve guilt so you can say to yourself you're a good person? Or did you go because God told you to go? What is the motivation of your heart? You'll be judged on that. Each one will receive his commendation from God. Paul is saying, I could give two squats on how you see me, successful, failure. I don't care. What matters is what is God perceiving. And I believe in God's eyes. Here's the reason why he picked you. And you got to see this. You have to understand. If you don't understand this, you really don't understand God. God chose what was foolish in the world to shame the wise. He picked you because you were foolish. God has chosen the weak. He picked you because you were weak to shame the strong. God chose the low and the despised in the world. Why? He wants to bring to nothing everything that is. He wants to show his glory by picking, yes, the losers in life. Why? That no human being would be able to boast. Jesus tells an amazing parable. He says, I came and I called all the great people. I sent out an invitation to everyone. I said, come. And they kept making excuses after excuses. I can't do this. I got this to do. I can't do this. I got this to do. I can't do this. I cannot follow. I'm too busy. And God says, well, you go out and you pick the people that aren't too busy. You pick these people. He becomes angry. Then the master of the house became angry. Pastor, why do you sound so angry sometimes? It's not good to sound angry. Well, I'm telling you what makes God angry. I'm showing it to you. He became angry because people were too busy. So he says, you go out and you pick the lamest people you can. Literally. You bring me the poor. You bring me the crippled. You bring me the blind. You bring me the least. Maybe they won't be too busy to follow me. Maybe the shameful of the world, the blind, the crippled, maybe they won't be ashamed to follow me. I get it why the rich are ashamed. I get it why the powerful are ashamed. Send me the losers.
You say, Pastor, I don't like being referred to as a loser.
Well, then you're the biggest loser of all. You're not willing to lose your life. See, ultimately, I'm a winner. I'm the biggest winner you'll ever see. And you're the biggest winner that I'll ever see. If you can be a loser. I prefer to be a mixture. Well, get ready to be vomited out. The world has nothing for you. You can delude yourself into thinking that it does. But the kingdom of heaven says if you will empty yourself the way I emptied myself of all of my glory, if you will empty yourself of all your glory, which is very, very minimal actually, and if you will take on the mind of a servant and become humble even to the point of death, even to the shame, I will highly exalt you, and you will sit with my Son upon a throne. And the glory of eternity will be yours. I am saved. Capture me with grace.
I will follow you.
Will you follow? Will you follow? Do you know the way?
You are the source. Of life, I can't be left behind.
No one else will do.
I will take hold of you. Cause I need you, Jesus. Come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved.
Follow, follow.
I will follow you.
Follow.